This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
A sower went out to sow his seeds and fell upon the ground. The birds swooped down and ate their fill as he tossed it all around. Fiddle-dee-doo, fiddle-dee-day, to fol-de-ray. A sower went out to sow his seed, some fell on rocky clay. The seed grew fast and the sun came up, so it withered clean away. Fiddle-dee-doo, fiddle-dee-day, to fol-de-ray. A sower went out to sow some seeds, some landed in a clump of tangled weeds and cruel thorns, which choked the seedlings up. Fiddle-dee-doo, fiddle-dee-day, to fol-de-ray. But some seed fell on fertile soil, the grain was firm and strong. If you think it produced a hundredfold, you wouldn't be far wrong. Fiddle-dee-doo, fiddle-dee-day, to fol-de-ray.
As you'll have gathered there from my opening song from the album Pearls of Great Price, today's theme centres around a parable that Jesus told, which we call the sower and the seed. And we can find it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Here it is, beginning to read at verse 1. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So, as we've just heard there in that reading, many of the seeds which were sown by the farmer failed to mature. But before any seed can grow and bear other seeds in time, they must be planted successfully in fertile ground. Let's listen to a little song all the way from India, sung by two sisters, Jerusha and Jessica Selwyn, and then we'll have a little drama. It's called One Must Water, One Must Weed.
The garden of love.
Here is that drama where we find a customer ringing her local garden centre to make a complaint. Hello there, good morning. I trust I've now got through at last to the right department to make my complaint about a product of yours which I bought some time ago, can't remember when, as I've unfortunately thrown my receipt away. The product itself, though, which is approved of by the RSPB, is called, I have it here in front of me, Mr. Fothergill's Flower Seeds. Giving nature a home, so it says. To put it quite simply, when I bought your product, I expected results. But I have not had one flower, not one. Mr. Fothergill and the RSPB should be thoroughly ashamed of themselves for selling a substandard product and contravening the Trades Description Act of 1968. Just listen to this. It says here on the side of the packet, quality seed, beautiful flowers, easy to grow. Not so, obviously. It goes on to say, think of your garden as a nature reserve. Now, I love wildflowers, and I was really looking forward to a whole harvest in years to come. First in my garden, which has excellent soil, but also in the countryside park to the rear of my house. And have I seen the fruit of my labours? No, I have not. So how can you say this product is quality seed? Where is the proof? Because I, for one, personally, myself, have not seen it. Now I know you're going to say that the greedy birds could have been to blame, or perhaps the scorching sun, or invasive thorns or weeds. There's absolutely no evidence of that. Surely there would be at least one little flower somewhere. Think of a world without any flowers, so the song goes. Well, now I know what that is like where I live. I feel cheated. My dreams shuttered. So, I'd like to ask for my money back, please. Customer satisfaction and all that. I've already told you I haven't got my receipt. Do you keep all of yours? Yes, of course I read all the instructions. Do you think I'm stupid? At least I think I did. Now let me see. It says here, open the box and scatter the seed freely and generously onto prepared ground. Oh dear. It seems the seed is still in there, the box is unopened. How embarrassing. How on earth did that happen? How very silly of me. Well, thank you for listening. I apologise most profusely. Thank you for your time. No, I do not wish to leave my name. Do enjoy the rest of your day. Goodbye.
Think of a world without any flowers. Without any trees, think of a sky without any sunshine, think of the air without any breeze. We thank you, Lord, for flowers and trees and sunshine. We thank you, Lord, and praise your town without any houses, no.
That song was Think of a World Without Any Flowers from my lockdown legacy collection. It was written by Doreen Newport. When we read in our parable today about a good seed being planted in good soil, which produced a crop of 100, 60 or 30 times what was sown, I can't help but think of Jesus' death and resurrection being the perfect example of this happening. Did he have this in mind when he told the crowds this story? After all, he would later preach that unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much seed. But that last verse, think of a world without any flowers, it really stands out for me where it says, think of a world without any worship. Think of a God without his only son. Think of a cross without resurrection, only a grave and not a victory won. But it goes on to sing, we thank you, Lord, for showing us our Saviour. Jesus is the good news, and we as Christians have been called to tell others about him as we journey through life, to sow seeds of faith in others, just like the disciples did before us. Let's listen to Margaret Scott and United Folk singing, I am the bread.
I am the bread to feed the world. I am the fire that's never cold. I am the hope of a dying world. Turn to me, my children. I am the friend they never know. I am the bond to soothe their souls. I am the wealth they long to own. Turn to me, my children. There's a hungry world who don't know me. A crying world doesn't know I care. I can see all their faces so lonely. Who'll go to them? I am the bread to feed the world. I am the fire that's never cold. I am the hope of a dying world. Turn to me, my children. Look at the fear on their faces. Look at the envy and discontent. Watch the scurrying paces. Who'll go to
this parable is also about how people will receive the message which Jesus handed on to us. The disciples were puzzled by this parable and later asked Jesus about it. This is how he explained the parable to them. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30.
One shall tell another, and he shall tell his friend. Husbands, wives, and children shall come following on. From house to house in family shall more be gathered in. And lights will shine in every street so warm and welcoming. Come the kingdom of God. Compassion of the Father is ready now to flow. Through acts of love and mercy we must let it show. He turns now from his anger to show a smiling face, and longs that all should stand beneath the fountain of his grace. Come on in and taste the new wine,
taste the new wine,
the wine of the kingdom,
taste the new wine,
the wine of the kingdom of God.
That song was written and sung by Graeme Kendrick, One Shall Tell Another. So the seed here is the Word of God, full of potential, as it takes root in the human heart. The soil represents the type of heart on which the seed falls. There's the stubborn heart, the shallow heart, the far too busy heart. The last one is the receptive heart, which produces seed 30, 60, even 100-fold, because it's planted in fertile soil. The parable tells us that not every seed will survive its environment, and not every heart will be receptive to the Word of God. But it's still like us to be like the sower, and sow seed anyway, regardless. So we're told the seed represents the Word of God. How exactly do we interpret that? What is it we're essentially trying to pass on to others? Is it joy? Or just a genuine smile? Is it our love for others? Or our devotion as worshippers? Is it scripture or prayer? Does it mean setting a good example? Or doing good or serving humanity? All of which are important aspects of believing. But is all this really passing on the Word of God to future generations? Now, Christianity doesn't have a monopoly on being joyful, happy, generous, or good. Other faiths and people of no faith can own these too. But the seed, the Word of God, is something that sets Christianity quite apart from all else and can be found in John chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So if we want to sow the seed and share good news, it's got to be the seed, the whole seed, and nothing but the seed, the Word of God, just as was handed down to us. Let's listen to St. Paul's Cathedral Choir singing those very words, "God so loved the world." In sharing our faith, in sowing the seed, it's obviously important to know what it is we do believe, first of all, to share our own faith experience, to introduce others to what we found to be inspirational, perhaps a book, music, or even take them to listen to a speaker, or to invite them to a service of worship which we know might challenge them. I came across Psalm 126 the other day. It seemed to me to be the answer to the very important question, what if we don't have the confidence, the boldness to pass on the seed which is the word of God? This psalm says, "Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." Here it speaks of the need for us to first be refreshed and renewed in faith. How can we offer life in all its fullness if we don't have that for ourselves? And the psalm shows us that vivid image of the Negev desert to the south of Israel. And it's here that flash floods occur in gullies known as wadis when the seasonal rains come. One minute the gully is dry and dusty. The next minute rivers surge through them in torrents, bringing life and colour everywhere. So too God's Holy Spirit can flash flood our lives. It's a wonderful illustration, and it's this life we must pass on. The psalm also promises that if we go out sowing seeds, weeping, that is, if we're really passionate about spreading the word, we'll achieve success and come back singing songs full of joy. God's word does not return to him empty, but will accomplish what he intends. Here's a song based on Isaiah 55 from Kaleidoscope of Characters.
See the rain and the snowfall coming down from heaven. See it journey to the ground below. Watering the earth, see it bud and flourish. Yielding all the seed that the sower has to sow.
Growth takes time. We must exercise patience. We may not even be around to see the results, but does it matter? We must keep on sowing the seed to avoid the prospect of barren fields and famine. When we come before the Lord of the harvest one day, what kind of harvest will we bear in our arms? If we want the word of God to grow healthy and strong, we've got to sow it. Time is up for us, I'm afraid. It's goodbye from me and also from Andrew Ridgewick. Without his expertise, this programme wouldn't reach you. Every blessing for this coming week. May the Lord God bless you and keep you safe in his loving arms. We're going to finish with a cracking hymn today, Build Your Kingdom Here, sung by Rend Collective. Do take care. Bye for now.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. Seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth.